If it wasn't for the Irish and the Jews, it kind of sounds like the beginning of a joke.
But in fact, it's the name of a song from the so-called Tin Pan Alley era of American music in the late 19th century, when Irish and Jewish immigrants dominated the music industry in New York City, and they wrote a litany of catchy songs about immigrant life and their love of the homeland.
We surely have a kingdom, there'd be no democracy if it wasn't for the Irish and the Jews.
Now, Irish folk musician Mick Maloney is revisiting that bygone era, and he's bringing his show celebrating the music of the Tin Pan Era to Phoenix tonight. The show's Lauren Gilger is here with more on this. Hello again, Lauren.
Hello, Mark. So I got to sit down with Mick Maloney and his fiddle player, Athena Turgis, to talk about their show and about this intersection of Irish and Jewish songwriters around the turn of the century. It was the era of Tin Pan Alley songwriters and vaudeville, where Irish and Jewish immigrants could find work if they had some talent.
Yeah, well, vaudeville was a kind of a family-based milieu where variety theater was a big part of American popular entertainment all through the 19th century in different forms. Some of it involved blackface, which was, of course, minstrelsy. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the 1870s, 1880s, and immigrants were flocking into the American cities, and they were working their butts off, you know, and they needed recreation. It needed to be entertaining to people who spoke different languages, you know. And a man called Tony Pastor, he invented what became known as vaudeville. And it was entertainment that was suitable for family audiences. No mention of a deity, because that would divide audiences. No swear words. Then in the 1890s, a new group started to come to America. These were people, Jewish people from Russia and Ukraine and Eastern Europe, flocking to America. And, you know, every new immigrant group has barriers to circumvent. But the entertainment industry and sports have always provided vehicles for people to get on pretty quickly if they've got talent. Mm-hmm. So that was the era of what we call Tin Pan Alley, when the music publishing business switched to 28th and Broadway in New York. And a journalist called Monroe Rosenfeld, he said there were so many people playing pianos up there trying to sell their songs, it sounded like tin pans banging together.
That's where that came from?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Tin Pan Alley.
And so tell us, how did Jewish and Irish cultures sort of intersect when it came to the music industry?
Well, the Irish had dominated the music business in America up to that time. You think of people like Stephen Foster. These people came from Foster's Glen in the north of Ireland in Derry. And then in the 1890s, this very talented group of people, Jewish people, arrived in. And you find people like Jewish Cantor, a son who was known as Israel Balien. And then he changes his name to Irving Berlin. And he becomes America's songwriter. And so the business starts to become Jewish and Irish, and nobody knows which way it's going to go. So a lot of Irish entertainers like George M. Cohan, everyone's heard of George M. Cohan. His real family name was Keohane. But he said this. His father said, this business is going Jewish, so let's change the name.
To sound Jewish?
Sound Jewish, yeah. There's a lot of masking going on and playing with name changes, and nobody knows which way the business is going. It becomes a Jewish business eventually, because the Irish have been here a long time. They're on the way out of the music business into business. You know, they're getting out of the music business, which is always at the bottom of the rung of, and as far as society is concerned.
So the commonality here sounds like these immigrant stories, this kind of tension between assimilation and nostalgia for your home country and
right.
for your culture.
Right. And a lot of an invented set of attributes for the homeland. You can, and you know, nobody wants to relive horrors, you know, whether it's the Irish famine or whether it's pogroms all over Eastern Europe. So eventually what the Tin Pan Alley songwriters did, they created feel-good songs where people came from a very wholesome background. Ireland must be heaven, for my mother came from there, that kind of thing. But also a lot of humour as well.
So do these songs sort of ring true still today, do you think, to new waves of immigrants who come in and to Americans who know that their grandfather or great-great-grandfather was from somewhere else?
I don't know if the songs are that relevant, but the story behind them is very interesting. And the songs themselves are beautifully constructed. And when I started, I'd certainly no intention of ever doing an album called If It Wasn't for the Irish and the Jews. But when I started to look at the songs and said, these are beautifully constructed songs. I mean, the craft of, say, an Irving Berlin or a George Michael Cohan I mean, the first line of songs, it's really gripping. It had to grip you. And in 3.5 minutes, which was the limits of technology at the time, the 78 record, mm-hmm. they had to distill all this emotion with a very simple refrain, with a bridge, maybe a chorus. And what they did was nothing short of genius.
From Germany, do Yankee Doodle Doo. When you come back, and you will come back, there's a whole world waiting for you.
And also, I think the Jews and the Irish, they shared a sense of humour, this wicked wit that really, I mean, it's just an electric combination. And I think some of the songs from that era, they're really funny, but they're also really intelligently written. And I mean, they're very witty. And that, you know, I think Yiddish theater, some of those influences combined with the Irish melodies, it was just a winning combination. And I think to go back and revisit some of these songs, I mean, they never seem old-fashioned because they're just so well-written.
Right. So give me an example or two. Where can you hear that wit and wordplay?
There were songs written at a time when the music of Black America was infusing the whole music scene and the recording industry, and what we call today ragtime was being born.
Oh, my honey.
And when Sir Irving Berlin writes, and if you want to hear the Swanee River played in ragtime,
and if you care to hear that Swanee River played in ragtime, come on in here, come on in here.
That's an octave jump and it's not syncopated, but everything else is syncopated, and it's a play on minstrelsy. And the genius that went behind that simple song, that simple line, because if you're a folk musician, you know, this is the enemy in many ways, popular culture, and a lot of it is cheesy and short-lived, and then there's a formula and it's repeated over and over again. And folk musicians, you know, we tend to come from a different place. So this was always the enemy to me. But when I moved to New York, I started to develop an appreciation for the art of it and the craft of it and the humour of it and the joy of it and the exuberance of the wordplay of it.
The joy of it is really what hits me. In my generation, we not only had forgotten, we never even knew about this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so we were hearing this for the first time. And what really strikes me is the images, like Mick said, maybe they're invented, you know, this imagined paradise over in Ireland. But what they're writing about in New York City was, you know, the babies rolling around the floor, your father's dinner pail, and the small little things, and the horseshoe over the door, and these little simple images that everyone can relate to, and it's all really positive.
But there was also a whole kind of a truth to some of the songs. The earliest Irish-Jewish combo was Ned Harrigan and David Braham in the 1870s. So Harrigan and Braham wrote songs that reflected the reality of multi-ethnic New York in a way that hadn't been done up to that time. There's a song called McNally's Row of Flats, and the chorus goes, Ireland and Italy, Jerusalem and Germany, Chinese and Africans, and a paradise for rats.
And it's Ireland and Italy, Jerusalem and Germany, Chinese and Africans, and a paradise for rats, all jumbled up together in the snow and rainy weather. They constitute the tenants in McNally's Row of Flats.
That's brilliant wordsmithing. And the images that come from that, they're not invented at all. They represent a kind of a sociological reality. And written about the kind of neighbours you'd never have back in the home country you came from. And New York and other American cities became the crucible for a kind of an interaction between ethnic groups that had never happened perhaps in the history of the world before.
Mick Maloney and Athena Turgis, thanks so much for coming in today.
Pleasure.
Listen, it was a pleasure. I love talking about this, and anybody who gives us a forum is blessed.
Mick Maloney and Athena Turgis will be performing their show If It Wasn't for the Irish and the Jews tonight at 7 at the Cutler Plotkin Jewish Heritage Center in downtown Phoenix.
The show's Lauren Gilger. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.